Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 17 to 25 will be today's main text. Contextually, I will do the sermon today. Embrace the words of exhortation is today's main title. It is the last concluding note of Book of Hebrews. As he concludes on this note we are about to speak today, he conveys some exhortations. Let us read verse 22 together. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact, I have written to you quite briefly. The temperament of the book of Hebrews is narrated here. It's a letter of exhortation. It is admonishing us. It is simply written. That is book of Hebrews. However, it's not all that simple, is it? There are 13 chapters in the book. It's a very long letter. These days, wedding sermons are short. It has to be short. The relevant stakeholders of the wedding, they first come to me and say, please keep it short. They would admonish me. I do it short. However, other officiants, they do it for over an hour, hour and a half almost. How arduous would this be for the people that has to hear this? And then he will say, finally. He will say, finally. If he utters that word, he shall not continue, never concludes after saying, finally. Even the bride is wearing the headpiece and sucking her stomach in. How hard could it be for her? Very hard. And yet he continues, some officiants. The book of Hebrews. It's a long letter. And at the end of the letter, he concludes on the note of, I have written this simply. The context of simply written, it is not speaking of the volume of the letter. The message that is sent is simple. That is what it's saying. It's concise, pithy. The message conveyed to us through the letter of Hebrews, only Jesus Christ. This is why it is simple, far greater than Aaron, Moses, and all the angels preceding him. Jesus is profoundly greater than they. They repeated the rituals daily, time after time, endlessly, and yet they were never absolved of their sins. And yet, once for all, Jesus Christ has resolved our sins. He is our eternal mediator, the intercessor, the ultimate high priest. Who is this? Jesus Christ, far greater than the man-made architecture of anything and any temples. He is the temple, true temple, the new covenant intercessor. He is Jesus Christ, only Jesus Christ. Only He can be our Savior. He is the only one that can perfect our faith and make us perfect. Parishioners, that sits before me, I speak to you. We are enticed by sinful ways of the world, but Jesus Christ, to the very end, let us hold firmly to the faith in Jesus Christ. This is the message the epistle of Hebrews is sending to us, the confirmation of the admonishment it is sending to us, who completes us wholesomely. That is Jesus Christ. Let us only gaze on Jesus Christ, regardless of the hardships that you are in. Encounter in life. He is our only hope. Let us not lose grip on the faith and till you die, you hold on to Him firmly with your life. The scribe of Hebrews, as he concludes the letter of Hebrews, there are some messages that is sent to us, exhortations. Firstly, obey to the leaders of the church and be compliant to their instructions. Verse 17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. The people that are leading us, it is the church. It is referring to the church, the leaders they're in leading. leaders, the deacons, the cell leaders, the pastors, we are to comply to their instructions and obey. It is admonishing us. Why must we obey? They are keeping watchful eyes over our souls. Something to the effect it reads. And they have to give an account. And for our souls, they keep a watchful eye. What it means that they are alert, keeping vigil on the situation of a life of faith. It's a reflection of a shepherd keeping watchful eyes over wild animals to keep the lambs safe. It means awaken, stay alert, be alert. Book of Mark 13:35. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. Thessalonians 5:6 first book. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Watch for eye, be alert, that's what it means. A shepherd watching the safety, to ensure their safety, shepherd keeping a watchful eye. Our sons in the army, some stay awake to keep a watchful eye over the imminent dangers that can arise. Like that, the leaders of the church, for the parishioners' souls, they keep a watchful eye as guards, protecting us from the enticements of sins and protecting their self families. They keep vigil eyes over it. They do not sleep. They stay alert to keep a watchful eye. They do it as those who must give an account. What that means is they pay the price for this. During the evening sermons, we are learning the Exodus. The pastor was consigned with the task of keeping safety of the lambs. And let's say he dozes off and the lambs are taken away from the wild animals, eaten by the wild animals. Just having a regretful sentiment from the event, it cannot just end there. There is an account to be accounted for. He has to pay for the lambs that he had lost. He is liable to take account of the event, unfortunate event of having lost the lambs. In that way, the leaders have to, in that way, they have this heavy burden of carrying on the mission to keep a watchful eye over our life of faith. They are the people that have been consigned to watch over the souls of the parishioners. They stay alert. They wake up early in the mornings to pray. They go to the missionary societies and prayer sessions, and they pray for us and the parishioners. And they conduct sacrificial prayers over themselves for the members of the cell members. They pray. The scribe of Hebrews admonishes us in this manner. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you. Reflecting on the souls and watching over the souls of others is a heavy burden, and some people, because of the onerous task, they reject the task. Let us not reject it, but comply. We all eventually would have to ultimately stand before God, and there will be a time of judgment. And when there's nothing to account for, as God wishes for you to take account for, then you will be excommunicated and will be rebuked by God. Let us foresee this and hence take on the tasks. And let us embrace the task that you have been consigned with. And why are you carrying on the ministry of carrying on the preserving the sanctity of others, your fellow Christians, of your own volition, if you serve others from pure joy, if you do this, you will be consoled by God. And of course, by contrast, there are others who will not have the positive impact. Some are fatigued. They serve and they sacrifice, but they are discouraged and dispirited and always concerned, are anxious. Which one are you? Are you the former case or the latter case? The former? Amen. Cell leaders, what is their joy and what emboldens them and empowers them? Let us be the former and let us be a joy to the cell leaders, not the opposite. If that's not the case, if you're the latter, making the cell leaders anxious and worried about you all the time, then there is no efficacy in your life of faith. If you comply to them, obey, there is a blessing that you will receive, as they can be the conduit of God's blessings. You carry on the life of faith in the name of being a parishioner, but you will not relish the blessings that can be passed on to you through the leaders. You just maintain the status of a parishioner without receiving the blessings. Let us help them to carry on the missionary work with joy and satisfaction. How do we do this? By obeying and complying to their instructions. There's a slight variation in the connotations of the two meanings, although they can be used interchangeably. Obeying, one way to obey is to fully comply without equivocation. The other is following the authority of the cell leader without reservation, without questioning. When the pastor tells you something, you obey. Are you obeying to the pastor, the teachings of the word? No, you are obeying God. That is one form of obeying. The second meaning of obeying could be for the benefit of the spirituality of people, the parishioners. And sometimes the leaders could edict an instruction that goes against your thoughts. However, for the greater good of the church, they may make a decision that you may not like. But regardless, you still respect the authority of the leader, as they are doing it for the greater benefit of the church. Even though you don't like it, you follow and you oblige. This is another form of obeisance. Collectively with the church, as you carry on the life of faith, we cannot all be individually satisfied. This cannot happen all the time. There are not ideal situations all the time. It goes against your will and is arduous and it's not palatable to your life of faith. But regardless, if it is for the greater benefit of the church and it is for the greater benefit of the other parishioners, then you have to oblige. This is one form of obeisance. A leader. When a parishioner obliges happily, when they see that and they carry on the life of faith, they are very grateful to you and they are emboldened by this and they are consoled by how you, regardless of your own thoughts, you follow the instructions. This is what makes them happy. I am like that too. My only true wish is the true joy that I gain from being your pastor is like the profession that Paul the Apostle had made. Something along the lines of nothing brings me greater joy than the parishioners following the word of God, obliging to the word of God, and therefrom maturing. This is the greatest joy of the pastor, and this is the greatest consolation you could give me. And God is also like this. The obedience of our parishioners is the greatest joy to God. Obedience is the greatest thing. Book of Matthew, the God speaks. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, he was greatly happy with him. Why? Because he fully complied to him. It was, he fully fulfilled his duty. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Book of Philippians 2:8, Jesus, he fully complied to God as it was given to him. He lowered himself as a human being, and he humbled himself, as that's what the word edicted. He although wanted the time to pass without suffering, but he rejected himself, and to the extent of shedding his blood on the cross, he obliged to God's words. And from this, God was glorified, and the deliverance from sins for all humanity was fulfilled because of the sacrificial death on the cross by Jesus Christ. You will not always be satisfied with your life of faith, and it will go against your wills. It's about rejecting your thoughts and your will, and instead you follow Jesus Christ and the word. This is faith. You completely humble yourself to the point of rejecting what you are thinking and your feelings, even though you want to evade the hardships of faith. Regardless, you fully embrace it and you follow Jesus Christ. Let us emulate Jesus and the church that God had established for you, and their leading leaders. Let us oblige to them, as it will be the maximum benefit to you. According to your volition and your thoughts, and as you will it, let us not lead a life of faith. That's not faith. That is idolatry, and it's a sin. According to your thoughts, no, you accord yourself to the word, and not a life of comfort. Do not be a moderate or wanting comfort. You are being connived. The road to heaven is narrow and hard. There is no such thing as a life of luxury and comfort. Do not be connived into thinking that you can lead your life of faith in comfort. Although it is onerous and hard to carry on, let us oblige and carry on. And secondly, for the leaders, it teaches us to pray for them. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. The author of Hebrews is imploring us to pray for him. And as it relates to our church, it is the leader. It is important to pray for them. The most important thing is for us to pray for them. Please pray for the pastor, for our elders, pray for them. To the people that have been positioned to lead, please pray for them. And pray, please. Let them be the conduit of your words, and have them be awakened to your words and teach us. Pray like this, in this fashion. and give him the power to carry on your word, and let them be a purified conduit of your words. And let us pray for the pastors. And for the cell leaders, let us pray, dear God, as a for our cell leaders, please have them, empower them to carry on your work, and have them be armored by your word, and empower them with your word, and all that is required for them to carry on. Consign them with the great task and the abilities to carry on, and especially the scribe of Hebrews. He asks his parishioners to pray for him so that he can be restored to the church soon. Why? Because there were obstacles in him returning to the church. We too face obstacles like the Red Sea. It completely blocks us off from the life of faith. There are a lot of distractions, and your pathway to faith is blocked off from you. What must you do in this case? Pray. We have to pray for each other and request for others to pray for you, and submit your prayer topics to the church. There's nothing more powerful than the prayer. It has the highest efficacy. It's a spiritual battle, it tells us the scriptures. The airborne Satan envelops us in this atmosphere, and amidst this, we are carrying on the life of faith. Hence, the only way to penetrate through this is prayer. When you pray, the authority of Satan will be defeated. You will triumph over it. Judah, the army of 100,000 or 1 million, and they were facing a great army, greater in proportion to theirs, and yet they still were victorious. Then Asa called to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this vast army, Lord. You are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. Book of Chronicles 14:11. King Asa prayed like this. What was the result of this? The Egyptians ran away when he prayed. The Satan has a great army, and showing his mighty teeth tries to instill fear in us so that we cannot worship God and so that we cannot congregate and pray. But through prayers, you can triumph over the Satan's authority, because Jesus spearheads our army. When you pray, he will empower you and he will save all of us. I pray in his name that your prayers will have this kind of efficacy. When the entire church prays for your causes, all the doors will open up to you. In the Herod, when the Christians were reviving in a full bloom, already had killed many devotees of God. And so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. What did the church do? They prayed for Peter. What was the result? God paid heed to the prayers and commanded the angels to be sent to Peter, and Peter was freed from the imprisonment and the closely shut gates were opened up. Right now, we are facing many spiritual battles and many situations are locked off. cordoned off to you. But upon praying, opportunities will arise and you will pass through the locked doors and you will be healed when you are sick. James 5:15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. One of the missions of Jesus was to heal the sick. And we have this power at our church. When the church prays for you, the sick will be healed. We have many instances of the sick being healed from the prayer of the Ark's prayers. Infertile people became, women became pregnant, and all sorts of sickness were healed through the prayers of the church. Head was hard of hearing and seeing, but were all fixed from the prayers. When you pray, you can also attain wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Our God, if you seek wisdom, He will abundantly provide you with the wisdom you require. It will be bountiful, and upon attaining this wisdom, you will have reverential fear for God, and you will have the discernment to know the difference between good and bad, and you will always follow the virtuous path. I believe in His name that you will. King Solomon, when he sought wisdom, he was afforded with the wisdom. Was that the only thing he was given? No. He also was given the powers and the other necessary items for him to carry on his kingship. All can be afforded to you by our Father, Heavenly Father. All that is good, through His grace, you will attain it. Through the prayer, if you pray, God will pay heed to your prayers. He has promised us. He told us that He promised us that He will uplift us and that will provide us with all that is good. All the people in the Bible, they were people of prayers, and they relish His grace. And even now, all those who seek Him, pray, can relish the same grace as the people that are mentioned in the Bible. However, if you don't pray, you are an idiot. Again, look to the next person and say, if you don't pray, you are an idiot. You are an idiot. He gives you all that you require if you pray. All you gotta do is pray, and yet you don't pray, and you just are concerned and worried about everything, then you are an idiot. He will make you victorious, and you are defeated by the Satan. Then you are an idiot. By praying, let us pray. Let us pray and receive His grace to the fullest and lead our life of faith. And especially, in particular, pray for the pastors, our elders, and those who have been consigned with this work. Let us pray for the cell leaders and the chairmen of the chairmen at the church. It admonishes us. And thirdly, and to our fellow Christians, the community of the church, let us send positive messages to each other. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. Was this Paul the Apostle? It doesn't matter. He was imprisoned and he was freed, and found the author of Hebrews and about to meet him. And together with the author of Hebrews, they were going to see the devotees, and is telling the plans of what he would do upon being freed from the imprisonment. seeking them and being in their company and praying for them, consoling them. He wanted to instantly visit them, but he was blocked off. The pathway was shut off. The communion of saints at the church is telling us to console each other and pray for each other. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people, it tells us. While you lead your life, you are not the only one undergoing hardship. We are all facing hardships. And as you lead your life of faith, and as you carry on your mission, there are also various tasks that can be burdensome and hard. Why wouldn't the leaders have difficulties? That much more they have difficulties and undergoing hardship they are. They need consolation. They need your prayers. Let's see. For the remainder of this week, text them via Kakao and to your cell leaders. Send the warm message of being grateful. Once again, this week, send them a warm message, thanking them. Treat them with a nice warm coffee and send the message of consolation. And there are those who are suffering sickness, and please pray for their ailments and console them. And economically, there are people that are facing hardship. Let us embolden them and messages of empowerment and help them to plow through these situations. And I am sure that all will be worked out if you pray for each other. And for the maturity of our faith, it implores us what to do on what we should be doing. Jesus Christ, He is our shepherd, something along the line it reads. And He is the peace of God, and in all things and tasks, He will resolve all issues. And through Jesus, all that is good will be done through Jesus Christ. Something along the line, He says. We have shepherds like Jesus here at the church. They are small shepherds. Jesus is the biggest, of course. And He protects us as our shepherd and guides us. And God is introduced as the peace of God. God of peace. He's God of peace, it reads. And that He has promised us of this. It was not given to us gratis, but it was paid by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And from the precious blood of the sacrifice on the cross, and from the sacrifice, He had defeated the Satan and reinstalled the life of us as the new creatures. We are the people that have received this great grace from the sacrifice. And now that we are the recipients of this great grace, we have become wholesome before the eyes of God. And from this stature, let us do what we can to please God so that He will accept our worship. It implores us to be this way, reminding us of the grace that we have received, the overwhelming grace, the absolute grace. Let us mature and progress and become a mature devotees, according to the goals of God of saving us, let us march on. These are the narratives of the message of the blessings. Book of Hebrews, it implores us and admonishes us. And according to it, let us obey the leaders of the church and comply. And for them, let us pray for the pastors. Are we going to pray for the pastors or not? Are we gonna pray or not? We must pray. And to each other, console each other, and help each other, and share the goods with others. And let us glorify God ceaselessly and mature as devotees are praying His name. Let us pray. Thank you.